Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're already cackling because I told you something that we're going to talk about later. And in a rather nasty way, you kind of laughed at me. Anyway, listen. Both of us, we're going to admit this, both of us have not had exciting weeks. We've not had...
I'm really sorry.
God, if you started listening to this podcast from now, may we suggest that you scroll back a bit, maybe towards, you know, before COVID, when we were doing exciting things. You know, this is just a particularly dreary week that we've had. Oh, yeah. And we do apologise in advance. We do hope you bear with us. Let's see if we can spin gold from tedium.
Oh, I'm done.
I've been unwell, Judith. Go on then.
Yeah. All right. This is because I had my endoscopy, isn't it? And a proper, this is slightly, well, you're not the only one that could get ill. Go on then. Yeah, What's been wrong?
Also, I have to apologise up front, immediately before I forget, because when you had, when you went to see your specialist in town, in the West End, it's a bit like going to see a show, isn't it? It's about the same fucking price.
Oh, it's better.
You get to sit down, you get one-on-one, and you swiped all those tea bags from the posh reception. Do you remember that? Anyway, So I rather snidely said, when you said, I'm going to go and see a dietitian, I said, well, don't you mean a nutritionist? Because
I got confused.
Yes, I got confused about which one is the most trained, and the dietitian is the most trained.
Absolutely. You got put in your place good and proper, didn't you?
I did. I got several emails telling me that, and none, rather cheekily, I thought, well, if they're all getting in touch, I thought I might get a free, you know... And if you'd like me to chat about, you know, your diet and what's wrong with it, I'd be very, very happy to take those. That's what we're sort of, you know, other podcasts are getting all sorts of exciting cases and wines and shampoos and exciting things, but we're quite happy to take free advice from any medics that are out there.
We've had some baked beans.
Oh, we've had the lovely baked beans, but of course I can't eat them because I'm allergic to tomatoes. But you've feasted on your beans.
I've had your portion.
I've had the Branston baked beans. How do the boys go with the Branston baked beans?
Oh, well, you know, they quite like them. All over them yesterday. I mean, I know we're going to come on to that, but we're going to do twin care and Arlo care later. We've got to let rip a bit. Go on then. What's wrong? Go on.
Right.
What's wrong?
It was very odd. After we finished the podcast last week, I had a sudden flare up of my old problem, which is cystitis, and it came on very out of the blue, no warning. And I had very hot, the usual sort of slightly feverish. So I started the medication because that's what you've got to get those antibiotics down you as quickly as possible. Yeah. And I'm going to say this out loud because often you can't get through to your doctors and get your meds very quickly.
But
for those who are very young, that is from Fawlty Towers. We're both being Sybil.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. We assumed.
We just assume. And I was listening to another podcast yesterday, and it was actually Catherine Ryan talking to a comedian called Dane Baptiste, and she said, what's a banshee? And I thought, oh, you don't know what a banshee is. But then I realised, of course, too young to know Susie and the Banshees.
Oh, that's right.
Everyone's too young. Everyone's too young to know things. She's very bright, Catherine Ryan. I thought, God, that's the first time I've ever heard you not know something. She knows everything.
Tripped up, was she?
Yeah, there. And I was at home muttering, well, I'll tell you, I'm a banshee. I'm a fucking banshee. That's what I am. Anyway,
Cystitis.
Whenever I've had a flare-up of cystitis, I always get myself some emergency meds online for the next time it happens. So I've got some in store.
Oh, you get right in there straight away.
I get in there. I pay. Dr. Fox. Dr. Fox online.
You got your sauce.
I got my sauce, yeah. And so anyway, I thought, well, I'll kick this into touch. And I just had a very easy afternoon, very easy afternoon. Then Friday, I thought, ooh, I'm a bit, I'm weedy. But I had a writing project, so I did that. I was able to sit up at my desk, propped up by pillows. Oh, I was very weak. Oh. And I got on with that. And then Friday night, now this is not like me, Judith, not like me. I went to bed without any supper and without a glass of wine.
No.
Yes. Yes.
Bloody hell. Yeah. That's deathbed stuff, isn't it?
It was a bit. It was a bit. And I just thought, well, I'll wake up in the morning feeling fine. And Saturday morning, I was meeting my old school friend, Jill, my friend Jill, right? And she booked a table at Soho House. Very
nice. Smart one? She's the smart one.
Oh, she's a smart one. She wears very good clothes.
I remember her. Yeah.
And I mean, she's just very good with clothes, Judith. I mean, the first thing I saw, she had a bag. She had a Fenix bag with her. I said, what's in there? And she pulled out, it's a beautiful jumper, but with a funnel neck. And I thought, well, I wouldn't think to buy a jumper in August. She said this was down from £179 to £45.
To £45. Sorted.
She's got Jill sorted with the clothes.
She's sorted.
We're having a nice time.
Don't think I like Jill much.
No,
but
you
never,
do.
Never
you
mind.
Would. You would.
Never She's, mind.
Well, she'd give us both fashion pointers. She'd go through both our wardrobes.
Oh, would she?
She might have to spend a weekend with you. And I suddenly thought, I've got to go as soon as I can possibly go. I said, Jill, I'm going to have to go. And I thought, shall I get an Uber? And I thought, no, I'm just going to go.
Oh, you
to
don't
the
mean
boss.
Go to the toilet. You mean go,
no,
as in
go
leave.
Go home. I had to go home. And I got on the bus because I thought, I was just reckoning which was going to be faster, an Uber or the bus. I thought, no, bus can go in bus lane. It's going to get me home.
And also,
you can
get off as well, can't
you? Yeah, well, that's very true, Judith. Yes, very true indeed. Yes. And I just sat there feeling absolutely great. I got home and within 10 minutes, oh, I was poorly. I was sick, Judith. And you know, it's really, really frightening being sick, isn't it?
Well, it is rather. It is, actually. I know what you mean. I know it's something we should get used to, and some people are phobic about it. That must be really awkward.
Well, I'm not phobic, but I can't say I enjoy it.
Well, no, I know. It's horrible. A horrible process, isn't it? Horrible process.
And ever since then, I've had a delicate stomach. I'm not quite right. My stomach isn't settled quite. And the last time I keep craving bacon. I want dry and salty. Does that make sense?
Well, no, not really, Jenny.
The last time I felt like this,
here.
I was expecting feeling.
Well, exactly, that was my thought there. But wait a minute, slow down. It's a hypochondriac. Yeah. I need to clarify a few things here. Yeah. So I didn't know that cystitis was connected to feeling sick and being sick.
No, I don't think it is. I think these are two different things. I kicked the cystitis into touch very quickly.
Oh, you've had this as well.
Yeah, yeah. I've had
That's
a doubler.
A bit greedy, Jenny. That's a bit greedy in terms
I've
of
I've gone
attention.
For the I've gone for the two
I mean?
In the week. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Goodness.
And I wonder whether it was a very slow brewing, because you know Phoebe and Tristram and Arlo had the sickness bug before we went to France.
Yes, yes.
Do you think it could have been sort of incubating for like 10 days?
Not really.
No, I don't really either. So. Anyway, I talked to the doctor.
What can you do? Yeah, go on, yeah.
And he said, oh, well, I'm going to put you back on Omeprazole. Is that what you're on?
Oh, that's what I'm on!
Yeah. So it could just be acid reflux and it needs a couple of weeks to really steady itself.
Gosh.
Were you ever sick with yours?
No, but I think people can be.
I think you're just too stoic. Yeah, I think you've got mind over matter. I think you're just too hard-faced.
No, I think it just comes out in a different way. But I think it's terribly common, actually. I mean, I'm sorry to disappoint.
I know. I've had to put... And listen, you know, you were telling me that you were starting to eat earlier and all that kind of thing.
You were in the right kind of... Oh, God, poor you.
Yeah.
Weren't you last week? Well, join the bleeding club.
I'm inching back. I'm going back half an hour. We're eating at 8 o'clock now rather than 8:30.
But I got to thank the gang actually for quite a few emails that I got from fellow sufferers from acid reflux. I'm going to call it what mine actually is, which is I think I feel a little bit more serious than yours, which is a sliding hiatus hernia, actually.
Yes.
SHH.
You can refer to it as shh. I've got shh. But let's talk about it. You could have a podcast, Judith. You could have another podcast for let's talk about it. All right, now
that'd be a bit niche, wouldn't it?
Now, when you were pregnant, what were your cravings?
My cravings were corned beef, cheaper the better,
okay,
and licorice, sometimes together. And I have before admitted walking along the street with a unwrapping a corned beef tin and eating it like a brick in the street.
Yes, yes, you have. It's, I've conjured up the image again.
Yes, it's an unpleasant one.
The only excuse, I mean, if I saw a woman on the street doing that, I'd either think she must have been so pissed the night before that it's the only way to soak up some alcohol, or she must be pregnant. It's the kind of look you can only get away with at a certain stage in your life. If I saw you doing it now, I'd have to say, Judith, please come with me. Yeah, come with me. We need to have a chat. So you've got cravings
for bacon. That's very
bacon.
But
when I was pregnant, I had cravings for bacon and very cheap prawn cocktails in Mary Rose sauce. I wasn't allergic to tomatoes back then. Anyway, the other day, right? Do you ever buy Jolly Hog bacon, Judith?
Jolly Hog bacon. I've seen it. I think it's quite expensive.
It's very expensive.
Right. Is it Freedom, whatever it's called, Liberated Pig?
Oh, it will be. It will be. They'll have lived in a palace. They'll have had free range of a palace, those pigs. Palace pigs.
Bunk beds and everything.
Yeah. Oh. Can you imagine little pigs climbing up bunk beds? Oh, I'm sleeping on the top today. Anyway, we'll get letters from the vegans and we apologise for it, but sometimes only fucking bacon will do. So, yes, Jolly Hog, very expensive, and we treat it with respect because of its expense. So you get six rashers in a packet, Judith. I opened
decent
a packet.
Decent rashers or ones that just tear apart when
they're a hefty rasher.
Or they stay.
They stay in one piece, yeah. Okay. Do you know, so in the six rasher Jolly Hog pack, we've got seven rashers.
You counted them?
We've got seven rashers. And yeah, because we have two rashers each and then there's two left over.
Oh, I see. Right. So you didn't actually have to count them. It became apparent.
It became apparent, Judith. Ooh, okay. It was like...
It's a win, isn't it?
It was like winning the pools. It was extraordinary. I felt lucky for the rest of the day. I really did.
I feel very grown up when I go into the butchers, which I do sometimes. And specify the kind of bacon that I require. It's sort of, you know what I mean? It's quite a grown-up lady thing to do, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's something that you need to know as well. I think by the time, if you're 14, you don't know what kind of bacon you like.
What have you been doing? Where have you been? Where have you been? I like a thick back, smoked. That's what we
Me
like.
Too.
Thick cut. You know, thick back
and heavily smoked. Maybe that's been dunked in treacle. Treacle.
Oh, maybe that's the secret ingredient of
the Jolly Hog.
Nothing to do with the bunk beds. It's all in the treacle. Slaver over it.
Black treacle on your bacon. I've just remembered treacle toffee now. Just remember treacle toffee.
Treacle toffee. Oh, that would take a few fillings out, that would, wouldn't it?
Oh, that would destroy our mouths now.
Oh, my God. Hundreds of pounds worth of dental work that would lead to.
It would be such a game of Russian roulette. Would you like some sticky black treacle? Oh, Jesus, God. I don't know where. There's a game show in that, isn't there?
Oh, there's Who Dares?
Yeah.
Who Dares?
There used to be a show called Who Dares Wins. I used to do all the extra work in that. Years and years ago. So it could be like a game show where the risk is basically, it's just old people taking risks. sort of like, okay, so round one is put this vase on the top shelf using this rickety ladder. Judith, you're the producer. Will you write that up and pitch it, please?
Oh, it's fantastic, isn't it? What else could we get people to do? I was actually thinking about other items with dental danger.
Well, like, there's loads of dental dangers, but there's also food poisoning danger. You know, it's like, you know, okay, this is raw chicken and it's 2 days over its use-by date. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to chuck it, curry it, or what?
Yeah. Yeah. Or better still, you could. It would be a sniff test, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
You wouldn't allowed to know when the date was. It would be a matter of how good
you
is your
sniff, oh, look, is there's your this chicken. Radar. It's been in your fridge.
What do you think?
And the date is not. The date has worn off the pack. It's torn. Yeah.
Dare you. And then we could put people in a situation where they might have a funny turn.
Yeah, just maybe just queuing for quite a long time.
Oh, for, yes.
A popular theatre show and put two people in the queue and see who gets, you know, who, and see if somebody has to leave the queue for a wee or a snack. Sort of endurance test.
Yes, and then you can see how short your temper is. When how badly behaved would a young person have to be before you actually said, look, I'm sorry, but please could you take your feet off the seat or whatever? What would be your time?
So it'd be a train carriage and there'd be all sorts of youngsters.
I'm actually writing it down.
Full of youngsters doing antisocial things.
Speaking on their phone really loudly.
Yeah, so who will crack first?
Yes,
No pinching allowed. No pinching, no slapping. Okay, right. Well, I think we've exhausted that.
Yes, yes. But, it has potential, but it might be a bit niche, I think.
It's an afternoon show. It might even be worse than an afternoon show. It might be a morning show. Anyway, so what else has been going on in your life, Judith?
Let me have a... Oh, did I tell you what? Am I going to have this terrible argument the other day?
Brilliant.
I'm sure you and Jeff have arguments from time to time. But honestly, this was one of the most childish arguments that I can remember us having. Because clearly, if it wasn't childish, I wouldn't be sharing it with you. So we're at the lake. The lake's been lovely recently.
I didn't know that you let Mike go to the lake.
Well, yes. He's got
I thought the lake was out of bounds for Mike. I thought it was ladies only.
Oh, no, of course it's not. Unisex, I love that word, unisex. He's got a proper membership and he's got his own toe float. He's an even slower swimmer than me and he's a bit wussy.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
He has to be very, very warm. But anyway, he has this terrible habit of getting out and then he won't take his sopping wet trunks off, you know, and then he'll get in the car and drive home. So I get in the car onto a wet seat. Quite regularly. Very annoying, isn't it?
Okay.
Very annoying. So anyway, before we get in, I said, do you think, could I ask a favour, please, for you, you know, to just to wrap the towel around you? Doesn't matter. I'll open the gate and everything. He didn't say yes. And I thought, yeah, you're not, you little tinker, you're not, are you? So we get out of the water and I can see that he's not taking his trunks off.
Expecting him to go naked buttock and then a towel around him?
Well, yes. I mean,
okay,
that's fine.
I just think we need the entire picture here.
Well,
okay.
Yes.
So he's going to whip his trunks off, put a towel around himself, sit in the driver's seat.
Yes,
you've stripped off yourself.
Yes. I've stripped off and I've got on my hideous, pink, filthy... kind of dressing gown with a hood on it, onto which, this is an interesting detail that you just need to bear in mind, will become apparent why it's important, with two white flannels.
Oh my God. Okay, so you have pimped your toweling robe with two white, are they on each breast? Or are they below the hip?
They're hip pocket. Below the hip.
Okay,
yeah,
okay, right.
For all
okay.
the keys and all bits and pieces.
Okay, well, the audience at this point, I expect them all to be on their feet. Half will be on their feet clapping and cheering. Half will have their heads in their hands going, Jesus Christ, Judith,
God.
That really is quite tragic. So I'm kind of, hold on, Judith. I'm actually standing up. And I'm clapping because I think that deserves a standing ovation. I genuinely do.
Oh, God. Anyway, I'm in a state. You know, taking them off. I thought you were going to take them off. Anyway, you know, this bickery argument starts.
Has he got a towel around him at all?
Yes, he's got a towel around.
Okay,
him.
Okay, but he's sopping through. He's going to sop through.
He's dripping.
Okay,
he's dripping.
Okay, right, okay.
You know, so anyway, well, it's fine. It's fine. That's always what he says when he doesn't want to do something. It's fine. Yeah. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. But it won't be fine. Anyway, I mean, for two people in their 60s/70s, it was quite ungainly, really. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And people were arriving back from their swims, obviously not knowing where to look, because it was all
happening. Were you shouting? Were there raised voices?
There were raised voices, yes. And anyway, so off I go. Well, I'm not getting in the car. So I flounced off in the most ridiculous situation because now he's got the keys to the car and obviously is sopping wet.
Well, I don't know where he's got those keys because he hasn't sewn a patch pocket onto his trunks or his towel, has he?
No, he hasn't. So I said, I'm not getting in the car unless, anyway. So basically, I flounce off. And it's a really long drive, okay, to the main road.
Oh, I've been there, I know, yeah.
Oh, of course you have. Yeah. So he said, oh, don't be ridiculous. It'll be fine. So I refused to get in. Really, really cross. I was really, 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 really cross. So he kind of trails me, you know, and occasionally catches up with me and says, come on, get in, don't be ridiculous. I'll hitch, I said.
Oh, God, yeah, so that's gonna work, isn't it? 68-year-old woman.
Yes, yeah,
hitching with naked hitching in a filthy robe.
Boobs. You know, you can imagine the state of the boobs. Yeah.
I don't think the cars are going to be screeching to a halt.
Oh well, after about 5 minutes, I just thought.
Did you actually have your thumb out, Judith?
Of course, I did. I was so determined not to get into the car with him.
Yes,
so determined. We ate separate suppers. Yeah. I had my supper in the summer house, and he had his in the house. And eventually, I thought, I'm not budging.
Were you going to sleep in the summer house?
I was toying with the idea. I was a bit bored, though. Do you know what I mean? It does get a bit boring, doesn't it, when you sulk for a bit? No, he did. Eventually, he came to the summer house and just laughed. I thought, okay, well, I can't be bothered to untangle it. We've been married for so long; it's too boring, isn't it? Why did you say that?
I'm just gonna. Whose car is it that was?
Well, you see, yes, good point. It's kind of my car, mostly my car.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? I'm the one that cleans that car. And
I don't just because you clean it doesn't mean to say it's yours.
No, it's kind of my car. I think you would say, I'll take your car or, yeah. No, I feel it's my car. I feel
Did
it's
you
my
buy
car.
It?
Well, no, I mean.
Well,
no,
then it's not your car. Sorry.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Jeff has got another bric-a-brac sale at Peckham, Copeland Park on Sunday. I think I'm going to have to help in, and my nephew Gabriel's helping as well. So it's going to be a family affair. But we decided that we should go to the lockup of shame. You know, because we've got this lockup in Camberwell where all the
with
shit
all your,
is stored.
With all your crap in it.
With all the crap in it. All the stuff, and also a few kitchen sinks and bathroom units and things like that from where Jeff's been doing that sort of work. So this is another round for the our television show. I went in a pair of trainers so I could climb climb over the things to the back. Oh, my see what God. I could
There's
find.
That much stuff. That is a lot of
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
This sounds perilous, Jenny.
Oh, honestly, oh, I needed crampons. You know, that it would be a great secret round for our show, because the door of the lockup would be closed and nobody would know quite how perilous it would be. And you've got to find...
You've got to find something.
You've got to find a photo album or something of great sentimental value somewhere in the lockup. Okay.
Yes. Find the thing that's the most valuable. Oh,
well, that's a bit cheaty. That's a bit that has been done, Judith. Yeah. That's storage hunters. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Which I actually did a celebrity version of actually once.
Did you know?
Yeah, I did. I did it with Bob Mortimer the week before he had his massive heart attack. He did look grey at the time, I have to say. God. And at one point we were all riding around in go karts, and the producer wouldn't let Bob do it. And I thought, why is Bloody Bob not hell. In a go kart?
He must have been really poorly.
He was quite poorly. Anyway. So I did mountaineering in the lockup. That's the only bit of physical exercise I have done this week, apart from we found some quite good stuff. We found some good stuff for the bric-a-brac, I have to say. There are the carboys. I'm using that word.
Oh, those lovely glass bottles. Sort of. That were in the 70s we all used to make into lamps.
Yes, yes, yes.
Lovely. They're nice.
I put those up on the Instagram, got those. I've got lots of wicker hampers. I've got wall sconces.
Have you got Fortnum and Mason ones?
Yeah, one's even got its turquoise ribbon round the top.
Oh, do you know, I think that'll go very well.
Well, I think we'll price sensibly and we'll see what happens. And I made him clear out, because it's time for a fucking clear out in this house, Judith. It really is. So Jeff has hoarding tendencies. Does Mike?
Oh, he does. Yes.
What's
absolutely.
Mike's thing?
Mike's thing is memorabilia. And it's all kind of organised. And he's got one sort of old-fashioned case full of all the... theatre tickets that he's ever been to, and theatre programmes from when he was little, and all that stuff, which is quite interesting. I don't know, it's spiteful of me, isn't it? But I just thought,
a bit. Jeff has got every single copy of World of Interiors and El Decos that has ever been published.
Gosh, I mean.
Yes and no. I mean, you know, I like a few interior magazines dotted about, but do we need... I mean, I'd say it's 120 years worth of magazines.
Oh, is that why you've got those great big piles?
That's what I said, Judith. They've reached sort of bosom height.
Oh, that's and I said, listen, you've got to nip that. With you on
so
this.
So we took a look. We were taking a load of those to the lockup. What did I find in the lockup? Other boxes full of the fucking things. It's ridiculous. So we've got a tower of art books as well that could fall on Arlo's head. So we've just got to get a bit sorted. But there's a hoarder in him. So the other night we opened a posh bottle of wine. I don't know where it came from. I think Avalon must have bought it me for my birthday. I'm so lazy and such an alcoholic. I can't really be bothered with bottles of wine with corks in them, Judith. I need time I need a drink, I fucking need a drink. Do you know what I mean? Anyway, Jeff said, oh, what's this? And then he looked it up and he said, it's about 70 quid's worth of wine. I said, come on, let's get it down us.
What, on a school night? Just like that?
Yeah. I can't tell the difference, Judith. And he took the cork out and the first thing he said, I like the typography on this cork. And he squirreled that away. I thought, oh, Jesus.
I know, we're fighting a losing battle, aren't we? I'm a great chucker awayer. I make the decision a split second. No, yes, no, yes, maybe.
I think that can lead to regret. I mean, I don't know. I'm somewhere in the middle, but it is not organised. So I'll have something from 1986, hugger mugger with something from 2002.
Yeah, I mean, life's too busy to be faffing on with that, isn't it? I kind of think that, you know, basically I've got a cupboard of memorabilia and I just stuff it all in there. And I kind of think, well, one day when I've got absolutely bugger all left to do, you know, I'm in the care home with a few sort of Fisher-Price toys that they've thrown in for me.
And then by that time, you'll be looking at all the photos going, well, who's that?
I will.
anyway, so have you been up to anything exciting, Judith?
Oh, very little. I mean, we must talk about the nana duties. So no, I've been up to very, very little, really. But I tell you what.
I don't know. Go on, I'm listening. Yeah, that's my job on this podcast. We have to listen to each other. It's kind of part of the fucking deal. Go on. I'm listening.
Yes. Well, you know that posh article about me in The Guardian? Lots of people saw it. Lovely kind of feedback for it. Anyway.
Yeah, the one where you're wearing elastic band around your face and I could
see.
Yes,
all right. Okay. Entre nous, not. So it kind of got into various, for some reason, Leeds University alumni put it in their news thing. And Kellogg College that I belong to in Oxford, they put it in their news
thing. The one where you go to study cereals.
It's a proper university.
I know, but why didn't they give it a proper name? Oh, I mean, there must be a name.
Kellogg. Kellogg's.
Of course.
The Sackler Foundation, except not really.
Oh,
like
yeah,
that,
but you don't want to be part of the Sackler Foundation, do you? They're taking all the names off all the plaques, aren't they?
Yes, yeah, exactly. Anyway, so that was a bad analogy. Anyway, so it got into the college newsletter, sort of online.
Next to the article about Weetabix.
Anyway, they've only gone and said, would you like to be a chamberlain at the college?
Oh, Jesus Christ, Judy.
Yeah, I'm a chamberlain
Does
now
this mean a hat? Winter. Does this mean a hat?
Does it mean a hat? I mean, I think the only snag is that, you know, we'll only have a very ordinary sort of gown. I haven't got any fur bits or anything. Oh. And the people that know about all those fur bits and bat wings and all the other bits and pieces will obviously look at me and think, well, bloody hell, what's she doing? What, you know, just an ordinary undergraduate with a...
Well, okay. Judith, we know what you should do with this gown. You've got to pimp your gown.
Pimp it up with some
what
flannels.
You've got some flannels. All you need to do is buy some multicoloured flannels and just stitch them on. And then everyone will be looking at you going, Jesus, God, that's quite special, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's
a very special robe. She does get those flannels. So yes, I haven't done it obviously because the term is next term.
Well, they don't start. I mean, Oxford, from what I remember about Phoebe going to Oxford, she didn't go till October.
No, I know. So I'll have to report back because there will come a moment relatively soon when I am invited to stand at the end of college dinner and make a little speechette, which is what I have to do, and I've got a special bell that when everyone's sort of stop mingling and have their prosecco, I go dealy dealy. Would I like to invite you all to take your seats in the it's quite grown up, isn't it? They obviously think I'm much cleverer than I am.
That is brilliant. That is absolutely brilliant. And when you're doing that speech, just chuck it out to me and I'll put a couple of extra gags in for you if you want.
Going to say.
You're going to have a great time. You'll enjoy that. You'll really enjoy it because it sort of combines quite a lot of things that you really like. It's sort of having an outfit, you know, having a costume and having a bell and people having to listen to you. It's
having
great.
To listen to me, that's right.
yes. Okay, so let's have a do a quick catch up on the Babettes.
How was your duty?
I do once a week, Judith. Although I've got a Friday night shift as well coming up.
Have you? Oh, there's a few more creeping in, are there?
Although she doesn't trust me to do them all by myself all through the night. So what happens is they're coming back from a gig and staying at our house and we sort of go upstairs. We go into sort of Lambda Daisy's old suite and just ignore anything that happens after midnight. I'm just going to say that 1-year-olds, well, he's 13 months now, Arlo, they're not as easy as they were when they were sort of 6 months to 11
months. Oh, they're not
months.
As easy, are they?
No.
They are, I know.
Much more emotional.
Yes.
Emotional, there's more emotion and there's a lot of teeth coming through and a lot of pain and a lot of grabbing at ears and mouth. And won't go in the paddling pool, Judith. And I saw that picture of your twins in the paddling pool. And I felt like picking Arlo up because he'd gone home. I felt like getting him in the car, driving over and slinging him into your paddling pool with the twins and going, right now, enjoy it. Enjoy it with them.
Do you know, I made the terrible mistake this week of thinking, well, you know, we'll do some messy play.
God, why has that become fashionable? I mean, bloody hell, it's the young generation. They make it harder for themselves. They coin a phrase and it becomes really fashionable and everyone has to do it. And messy play is part of this.
Yes,
messy play. It's all messy play. Let's make some mud and trample it all through the house.
I decided to make some chocolate brownies, which, you know, was ridiculous, really. So I got a plastic thing on the floor and a great big bowl, and I thought they'd enjoy mixing it and everything. And yes, they did enjoy mixing it, but they enjoyed pouring it all over themselves a great deal more. I have never seen such a lot of chocolate mixture all over. I mean, literally in their hair. They had to be carried in and hosed down, and it was a, you know, all.
Is that why you got the paddling pool out, Judith? It was actually a sort of earlier picture where they were in the paddling pool covered in chocolate.
It's a different day, but I was covered in mess at the end of the day. I ended up going to Waitrose at the end of one of the Nana days this week. You're just still in my outfit. I got into Waitrose, I looked down at myself, I thought, oh my God. I was just covered in stains. Honestly, it's a terrible state I was in. So much so, I bought a very, very large pack of cornflakes.
Were they Kellogg's, Judith? Were they Kellogg's?
They were.
Were they Kellogg's? When you got to the checkout, did you say, I'd quite like a discount on these cornflakes? Because I'm a member. I'm actually the Chamberlain.
Actually. What? You're thinking she might have taken one look at me and thought, yeah, right. I don't think so. Anyway, we better stop talking about the
Chamberlain. Yeah, yeah. And I mean, you know, still the absolute light of my life, but, you know,
I'm done in. I am. Are you done in?
Sometimes I'm a bit done. Well, I only do one and then I've got half. I mean, I'm on half charge, really.
Yeah.
Right. So should we go now, Judith? Because people will be waiting with bated breath for our
culture. Well, they've probably got their notebooks out, haven't they? They've probably got pen and paper ready.
I bloody well hope so, because otherwise people write in and say, what was that book you were talking about in April? And I go, I don't know. Okay, books. Well, I will kick off. I finished because I spent Saturday when I got back from seeing Jill. I spent Saturday afternoon in bed and I finished The Lease of Jewel. None of This Is True. Hugely enjoyable if you don't mind having your credibility stretched.
Okay.
It does stray into this couldn't happen. She's so good at what she does. She's such a great page turner of a writer that I kept listening even when I'd stopped believing in the plot. I suspended my disbelief. Yes,
very
I did. Now, what about yourself?
I've been cheating, basically, because I've been a bit done in with everything. But BBC Sounds has got a series on. They've got that with Hardy's women and the Orwell's women. But basically, I mean, they're not new. I think they've been around for a couple of years, certainly the Hardy one. But basically, there's a beautiful, okay, abridged, obviously, version of Jude the Obscure on BBC Sounds, which is beautifully performed. And I've just forgotten how good that book is. Oh,
I don't
my
know
God.
It. So that's something to put on my list. But I will not listen to abridged versions.
Well, I think you should reconsider that. It's beautiful. I think they might have abridged the story to kind of concentrate on the female sort of sides of the story, possibly, and that's why it's called Hardy's Women. I'm sorry, I should have done my research about that. I don't know, but ultimately it is beautiful, beautiful writing. And the saddest story, oh my goodness, there's one of the saddest scenes in any novel that happens in that book, and I won't tell you what happens in case.
And is Jude a man or a woman? Because Jude is Arlo's middle name.
A man, and he, you know, he's bright and he wants to go to Grantchester, it's sort of Oxbridge, and it doesn't happen because he has such a bad start in life. And then he falls in love with his cousin, and they, you know, they obviously are meant to be together, but they can't because it's sort of frowned upon. And it's just everything kind of you know, goes right and then goes wrong again. But he's such a lovely, it is sad, but it is so good.
I think people will enjoy this. I'm also on the very last leg of Ordinary Human Failings, which is Jeff and I book that we're listening to by Meg Nolan, one of those young Irish wunderkinds. And it's very It's very well written, but it's very bleak. It's very sad. And there's a chunk of it where she's writing about a young man slide into alcoholism with such sort of awful accuracy that it made me feel all anxious in bed. I think it's for people who are really looking for that kind of thing. I don't think it's a sort of, it's not a beach read. That's all I'm going to say. And now we are going on to The Bee Sting by Paul Murray. I thought I'd give a bloke a chance. It's 26 hours long and it's long listed for the Booker.
Wow.
And so far, it's excellent. It's a big slice of Irish family life and they're facing financial upheaval in the 2009 economic crash. And it's going to be a big sprawling, you know, a bit like a Jonathan Franzen, etc. But Irish. And I mean, often when I try a book prize nominee or a long list, I am severely disappointed and I sort of get quite cross. But I think this one might last the course. So that's books for you, everybody.
Very good. You read so much. It's really impressive.
I don't go swimming in the lake, do I? You know, I've got an extra hour in bed. Now, telly, Judith. What have you been watching on the telly?
I've not been sleeping very well at the moment, so I've been doing sort of watching things in the middle of the night. And I tell you what I've been watching. It's hideous television. And you've been watching it as well, I think, which is this Crazy Rich Agents. What's the actual title of it?
It's called Crazy Rich Agents. That's absolutely right, because it's a spoof on the film Crazy Rich Asians.
Is it?
Well, I have to say that I think I might have texted you, Judith, about this appalling... It's on BBC as well. It's on BBC Two. I had to keep checking. I kept thinking, is this really by BBC? Is this not Channel 5? What's it doing on the BBC? It's such a weird setup, isn't it? It's about estate agents. And it's this terrible idea from New York, obviously, that estate agents should work for no money and only work for commission. But it's such high-end property that if they do make a sale, they're going to be set up for quite a long time.
So it's dog-eat-dog. Right from the beginning, that's the sort of premise, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not nice people. Some of the contestants are all right, but nobody's shown in particularly good light. Terrible people involved in this show, with a few exceptions. But it's like snakes writhing in a basket, isn't it?
Well, it feels like the kind of worst sort of aspects of The Apprentice, doesn't it? And then there's this guy who runs, you know, the best sort of setup in New York, comes over and kind of...
gives them all pep talks.
Oh, the hideous pep talks that reminded me of sort of, I don't know, pyramid selling kind of horrible situations. I remember I did that once. Yeah, I did. I remember going along to it and my father said, that'll be pyramid selling. No, it's not. Don't be ridiculous. It's not that.
For
some sort of cleaning produce, I spent, I don't know, 30 quid or something of my hard saved money on it. He was furious with me, quite rightly, but yes, it's sort of, and also the houses are, you know, they're all kind of 5-6 million of horrible.
Oh, there's some went up to sort of 30 million and beyond, and you know, so many of them. There was one gorgeous property in the countryside. But the estate agent who's really struggling, a girl, the brunette in that kept wearing red and black together, which doesn't look classy. I'm just saying, I don't want to upset anybody, but I'm going to say, if you want to look sort of sophisticated and stylish, be careful of red and black. It's a tricky thing.
Actually.
It's a very tricky colour combo to pull off.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was Mulberry House or Mulberry Cottage, it was called. And the people that should have been interested in it just couldn't be asked to get in their cars and go and look at it.
I didn't see that one.
Oh, well, there's just everybody is quite horrible. There's one sweet boy who does all right, but he's really out of his depth, to be quite honest. But there we go. It'd be interesting to do a catch up, 2 years on and see whether.
Well, I don't know why we're watching it, but it's kind of difficult to switch off, isn't it?
I'll tell you something else like that as well. What? I don't know whether you've seen this one, At Home with the Furies.
Oh, I haven't. I know. Yes, I've heard about it. But no, is he the boxer? Is he a boxer?
Yes. He's the Gypsy King. I mean, you know, he's apparently when he was born, he weighed half an ounce or something, and now he's 6'9" and huge, you know, he's huge, and he's unbeaten, he's the heavyweight champion of the world or the universe or something like this, but he has severe mental health problems, which is fully discussed, and it's very open about it all, and it's sort of genetic. His father, who's, you know, also doesn't suffer quite so badly. And then, and it's at home of the Furies, Tyson Fury, this boxer who is only 34, looks about 50. He's 34. His wife Paris is the same age. They're the same age as our girls, and they just look, they look like they come from a completely different tribe. I mean, it's just, they're so kind of, they've got so much, they've got six kids and this sort of mansion in Morecambe. I mean, it's a great travelogue for Morecambe because it makes it look like Rio. It really does. I mean, the beach is looking fabulous. But it's just desperately sad because Tyson, he's controlled by his condition. He's obviously got, you know, it was seriously bipolar, and he can be incredibly, he needs to do things spontaneously. So he'll just decide to go to Iceland to fight this massive Viking hard man, strong man. And then when he gets there, the strong man isn't even in Iceland. He's in Rome doing a commercial. And it's just like nothing is, and he's got this agent who hadn't checked this. Nothing's checked, nothing's done normally. It's like, and his wife is this sort of obviously incredibly beautiful blonde.
Oh, it sounds rather good, actually.
It is, it's, you watch it and you just feel sorry for everybody because you just, this could have such a horrible ending and you just do not know. And there's a little bit where the last time Tyson Fury retired, he became more or less an alcoholic overnight, you know. And I've just watched episode 3 and he's just started drinking again in a bar in Iceland. And you just go, oh, stop the cameras
exactly.
now.
Exactly. Why would you carry on with it? Why would you agree to, I mean, if your life is like that, why would you agree to have all that filmed?
It sounds like we've both been watching a load of shit.
Absolute shit. Can't take our eyes off the screen. We're missing Deadlock. Have you started watching Deadlock?
I started watching it. It wasn't Mike's sort of thing, really. Okay. And so no, haven't really got into that.
I get that because I think the first couple of episodes are dialed too high.
Yes, they're
too
hysterical. They probably are. They probably are.
Yeah.
Good documentary. Good documentary about the real Oppenheimer on Netflix, and frankly saves going to the cinema for 3 hours and watching the movie. I would say some fantastic footage in it, and people that knew him or knew people that knew him, and it's terrifying and good, actually.
Okay, so that's the real true story about Oppenheimer on Netflix, even though apparently the film is brilliant. Well, we missed Deadlock, but we have replaced Deadlock now, and I think this is something that both you and Mike would like. But you might have seen it, Annika.
Ah, I haven't seen it. Is this the one with Nicola Walker where she talks to the camera?
Yes, it is. And I do not know why we have avoided it for so long. Because we're really into it now.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's a bit pat and things are sold a bit too quickly and all that sort of thing. But they're satisfying hour-long chunks, Judith. And I think it's one for you and Mike to enjoy together.
Thank you. Good recommendation. We definitely need something. We're searching.
So that's our culture corner roundup for today. It's thin this week. Yes. For various reasons, it's a bit thin. We apologise for that. So this is a culture corner recommendation from Emma. And she says, if any of the gang happen to be in Paris sometime soon, there's a brilliant immersive exhibition of Chagall and Klee at the Atelier Lumière. So she says also, thanks to Jenny, City Mapper is a game changer. She probably do. I don't know whether they have City Mapper in Paris. She might be doing that in Paris. But so if anybody's in Paris, that's something.
Is she offering to take us?
She's not. Well, a bit pointless, really, wasn't it? That, but thank you, Emma. There's, you know, it's a nice email.
Nice idea.
You know, what we're really after is people saying, "I've got an apartment in Paris that's free from, you know, free for Christmas if you fancy."
We're shameless. Right, okay, well, listen, have a good week. And
well, I hope so. I hope so, Judith. I've got lots of gigs coming up. I start my tour next week.
I know, some of them have sold out already, aren't they?
Well, I think it's doing quite well. Yes, it is. So I better get my my clogs on.
You had.
It's the bones of it are still the same show, but it's just got new knobs on it. You know, it's
lovely. I look forward to the knobs.
What I've done, Judith, basically with this show, is I've sewn some flannel pockets onto it. I've pimped my show. That's what I have done. Okay, it's still the same disgusting terry toweling robe underneath, but it's just got some new flannel pockets. So I hope you enjoy
those.
We know what
we mean, don't we?
We know what
That's
we mean.
That's going to be our shorthand now.
Just sewn some flannel pockets on it. Take care, everybody. We'll love you and leave you, and we'll be back with you next week.
Indeed. Toodle pip.
Bye bye.
Bye.
Stop saying bye. We've finished.
We're better than we used to be. We commit better than we used to be.
We've committed better to the end. And this is the end. The end is now.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.